Dateline, January 1991. Marvel fans welcome two new superhero beat-em-ups to their universe.
The Avengers!
Welcome to 2021, True Believers! Let's turn the clock back 30 years to 1991 and a simpler time, when 16-bit game consoles were the new hotness, but 8-bit consoles were still the most widely owned, and the only place to play the newest, most advanced games was in your local arcade. And yes, you probably had a local arcade, be it a dedicated room full of the latest cabinets, or the odd one or two machines sitting in a deli or a pizzeria near your school. Well, we are all mere months away, weeks even, from the release of an epic arcade game that will change the entire history of the medium going forward. In the here and now of January 1991, the coolest video games are beat-em-ups where 1-4 players can work together to fight their way through screen after screen of punchable bad guys. The granddaddy of the genre is still kicking, but Double Dragon 3 is a bit of a letdown when bolder games like Final Fight or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are an option. Indeed, that last one is particularly important. Why struggle to create an original team of heroes and villains for your beat-em-up when licensing an established property will draw more eyeballs and coins to your game? It is in that context that two distinct beat-em-ups made by two distinct companies were released sometime in January of 1991, both of which were based on the world of Marvel Comics. As previously established in this column, I was a huge Marvel fan growing up, so both of these arcade games were automatic attention and coin magnets for me. But considering how similar they appear on paper, they are two very different games with very different legacies 30 years later. Let us begin with the game with the broadest appeal, Captain America and the Avengers, made by Data East, a company that we can safely describe in hindsight as B-tier. Data East made a lot of games, some of them being quite memorable, but a lot of them were just fine. Data East had dabbled in beat-em-ups, but typically they were side-view platformers like Bad Dudes. In Captain America and the Avengers, up to four players could team up together, so a single plane would not do. Instead, players may freely move into the foreground or background at the cost of sprite size. Characters in Captain America and the Avengers are a lot smaller than other beat-em-ups of the era. Captain America and the Avengers stars Captain America and three Avengers: Iron Man, Vision, and Hawkeye. Every character can punch foes up close, but they can also pick up enemies, along with random objects like benches and soda cans, and throw them as projectiles. Every character also has a long-range attack. Cap can throw his shield, Iron Man and Vision have laser beams, and Hawkeye has, what's his thing? Arrows! Yes, arrows! Hawkeye has a bow and many, many arrows. The game does not restrict long-range attacks with ammunition or a health penalty, so patient players are free to stand back and fire away as much as they like. In fact, there are entire levels where the heroes take to the sky and the game turns into a scrolling shooter. Do not ask how many shields Captain America is carrying during these stages, because it is a large number. The man is a super soldier. He doesn't have to worry about encumbrance like the rest of us. The main appeal of Captain America and the Avengers, as is often the case with comic book properties, is the sheer number of villains present in the game. The ultimate goal is to defeat the Red Skull, a character done very dirty in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, if I may say so. But along the way, each boss the players fight is a marquee marquee name from the comics. Well, each boss aside from the giant robot octopus in the underwater stage. Likewise, super allies make cameo appearances during the game, the funniest of which is famed speedster Quicksilver, who runs on screen to deliver a health item before running away. He surely has more uses than that. The icing on this cake are the sound effects. Captain America and the Avengers has a lot of barrel-chested voice samples, all of which are boombastic and perfectly in tune with the game's comic book aesthetics, right down to the on-screen onomatopoeia like thwack and boom. The best slash worst one is the sound a hero makes when their health runs out. Regardless of which hero you choose, they stumble to the ground and shout, "I can't move," which is the player's cue to put in another coin to continue. Captain America and the Avengers was ported to the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo, though there were also more primitive versions made for the Game Gear and Game Boy. An NES release shares a name with the arcade game, but it looks and plays completely differently. None of these ports allowed for a full squad of four players at the same time, though, so the experience was never going to fully translate to the living room. I know I never even bothered with the home edition, remaining content to just pump in a couple bucks and play through the entire game whenever I saw the machine in the wild. I have one memory of doing exactly this on a family trip to Niagara Falls. The US side, naturally, because Captain America is no Canuck. On the other hand, there is Spider-Man, the video game, one word, made by Sega. Despite being a concurrent release with Captain America and the Avengers, Sega's take on the beat-em-up feels cutting edge, and also weird as hell. For starters, look at the lineup. Spidey's the star, but you need four players, so he's joined by known associate Black Cat, relative stranger Submariner, and Hawkeye. Yes, really. Hawkeye starred in two video games in one single month in 1991. Running on Sega's System 32 arcade board, Spider-Man, the video game is colorful and bold with big sprites for every character on screen. While Captain America and the Avengers offered players lots of space and time to choose their moves wisely, Spider-Man and his curious collection of friends are often overwhelmed with enemies crowding the screen. There's also no time to lose as the player's life gauge is constantly slowly ticking away. I don't know what evil is plaguing the heroes in canon, but even when they stand perfectly still, they are dying. A meta commentary on the human condition, or a petty scheme to get players to pony up more quarters? Speaking of big sprites, Spider-Man the video game also mixes up the beat-em-up formula with platforming stages in between the fighting stages. These are not off-screen transitions, but instead the action pauses and the camera zooms in or out. A shocking effect in 1991, and one that still looks groovy 30 years later. In platforming mode, everyone's a wall crawler, as players must scale buildings and catwalks while taking fire from enemy weapons. Though the game is thankfully generous with the health pickups during these stages. Spider-Man has one of the stronger rogues galleries of the Marvel Universe, and he faces off against most of his biggest foes in Spider-Man the video game. The game leans hard on the hottest villain at the time, Venom, who ends up transforming from a regular enemy to a giant enemy and must be fought in multiple game modes throughout the first chapter. Any kid who puts a quarter into Spider-Man the video game should last long enough to face Venom at least once, so the development team surely knew what their audience wanted. Spider-Man the video game looks great, plays well, and offers a lot of variety to players, but there is one aspect of the game that deserves extra attention, the sound. Not the music, which is weird, but the sound, which is extremely weird. All the speech samples in the game are heavily distorted. Venom gets a lot of lines, but I couldn't tell you a single word he says. The most common enemies in the game appear to be masked thugs from the Hellfire Club, typically X-Men villains, but whatever, and when they appear or attack or do anything, they hoot and holler in a wholly unnatural way. Likewise, the Green Goblin makes several appearances throughout the game, and while I'm certain the developers wanted to make make him cackle. What we get instead is a lot of quacking. Seriously, watch a YouTube playthrough and tell me he doesn't sound like Donald Duck when he gets his ass kicked. Marvel fans got a lot of Spider-Man video games in the 1990s, but this definitive article was only ever released in arcades, and the more recent release of a very popular PS4 game simply called Spider-Man makes this 1991 edition a lot harder to Google. It is an unfortunate downside to the licensing question from before. When you make a video game starring a character you don't own, your time with your own work becomes limited. Perhaps someday when Disney buys Data East or Sega and licensing becomes a non-issue, we might see Captain America and the Avengers or Spider-Man the video game turn up on a modern system in a retro bundle. I'd like that. If only so more human beings would understand the exact cadence of random noises that are echoing inside my brain 30 years later. Thank you, Quicksilver! You know, listening to the raw voice samples 30 years later, it is apparent they are saying, "I can't lose!" But my brain made up its mind in 1991. Anyway, thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can follow me on Twitter at FEITCLUB. Excelsior!
I can't lose!